It's time for Buff Talk here on 99.9 The Rock. A chance to hear from the coaches and athletes from Garden City High School. Let's go live to Old Chicago in Garden City and join the voice of the Buffaloes, Cal Friedman.
Hope everyone's gotten off to a good start here in your new work week. My name is Cal Friedman. This is Buff Talk here on KWKR 99.9 The Rock here on October 16th. Sports are winding down in full season. Football picked up a big win in the Hatchet game. We will have assistant coach Chad Skinner and center Andrew Moreno on later on in the show. They still have one more game in the regular season against Great Bend. Some teams are getting ready to start their playoffs, and it's exciting time for volleyball right now. After finishing off their regular season, I'd like to welcome on head coach Tristan Bailey. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Weekend all right?
It was fun.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I saw you finish with four in WAC play. But before we get into that, congratulations on being able to host Hub States. You guys finished 23-13 in the regular season. Tell me a little bit, how you were able to get it done?
I think it's just a matter of, you know, setting the goal early on in the season. Because for the last couple of years, we've had to travel across the state for sub-state. And so for these kids that are juniors and seniors now, they know what it means to have home court advantage in the postseason. And so that was something that we established early on. And so it was something that we continued to bring up week after week about how important getting wins were throughout the season in order to set us up for this.
Now, I want to hark all the way back to the first ever Buff Talk that I did. You were actually my first guest that I had on. And one of the things that you mentioned at the time is how you had very high standards for this team. Did you feel like they lived up to those standards throughout the season?
I do. I think I've been around them for a long time, and so I don't think it would be doing them any justice to not hold those high standards for them. And I know it's not always easy, and there are times when we kind of butt heads a little bit, but ultimately it's to get the best out of them and encourage them to continue to work hard even when things don't look all that, you know, positive around them. Mm-hmm. So I think just seeing their faces when they found out that they were going to host made all those tough times and hard days worth it, just to see their smiles and know that they accomplished this goal.
How did you find out?
Varsity assistant Amy Wickwar is a math guru, so she's been eyeing this for a while, and she crunched some numbers and basically laid it out for them before WAC that, you know, they had to at least get one win while they were there in order to secure the home court advantage. And so when we told them that, their eyes got really big and they were like, wow, I'm like, yeah, you certainly can do it. So
you gotta have one of those math gurus on staff.
Yes, I'm grateful for her because I am not a math guru.
So when you got that one win, what was the feeling? Happiness, relief, fill me in.
I mean, honestly, their goal was, they also had a goal to win WAC, so it's not like, you know, we got our win and we were like, yay, that's it. You know, they still had high expectations for WAC, and even though we fell short in that regard, we knew that that wasn't the end-all be-all of our season. Winning WAC is obviously important and, you know, something we strive for, but it's not the only good that can come from a season.
You mentioned that WAC play was always what you most look forward to when you're a coach. Can you describe what your team's attitude was like going into this last week, because they had five straight games in the conference?
Yeah, they, you know, it's not just important to me. It's important to them. And, you know, just with the way that WAC has kind of grown in the volleyball world the last couple of years, it's become more and more competitive. And I think the rivalries are just getting even bigger. And so, you know, they want to go out and perform well and represent the WAC that way. But I think they did. We played every match close and they were competitive and they worked hard. And, you know, Great Bend's got a great thing going right now and Hayes does too. So the fact that we were able to compete with them was definitely reassuring for our kids.
Let me ask about this, actually, because this is something I've heard from a lot of other coaches that I've had already. So that kind of West versus East, where, you know, you kind of want the West to really stand out. Feels like a lot of the recognition goes to more of the East schools. How do you feel that the WAC has grown since your first year as coach?
Well, when I first got here, we were in the middle of I can't even remember, honestly, year five or six of a 10-year streak. And so this competitiveness is reassuring, honestly, because I think some teams out here are starting to make some noise, and it's still tough to get any kind of recognition, but I enjoy seeing our Western Kansas schools, you know, do big things and represent us in their various classes, and so it's been fun to watch it develop and grow over the last few years.
So looking at how your schedule went, you had a really difficult 5-set loss to Liberal to start out that week. What were some of the things that stood out on that day for you that you kind of knew that this team was going to have to fix before this last weekend?
Well, first of all, just playing in Liberal is tough for anyone that's been to a game there in the Big House. It's just a tough place to play. And then we don't duel very often. And so I think when we got those first 2-set victories, we were like, oh, you know, okay, let's just finish this out. And Liberal had other plans. So they kind of took advantage of some errors that we made. And then we just couldn't really seem to get the momentum back. But I think, you know, debriefing after the game, I told them that it was a game on a Tuesday. It wasn't, you know, anything that was going to be detrimental one way or the other. And I think they kind of bought into that and realized that it was all part of the process, all part of, you know, showing up and giving your best every day. And so I think that, you know, put a little chip on their shoulder for WAC.
And I saw that you went from losing them in 5 sets to being able to then turn around and sweep them. How much does that mean to this group to be able to turn things around to close the season?
I think it shows their maturity and their confidence in themselves. You know, that's always something that we struggle with, which I'm sure, you know, most female athletes do from time to time. But I just, more than anything, wanted them to know that they deserve to be on the court with the best of the best, and that they had a chance to redeem themselves, and they did.
When you talked a little bit earlier about how you sort of butt heads with the team from time to time, how does this team handle, you know, criticism, adversity, stuff along those lines?
They're getting better at it. It's not, you know, it's not fun from a coaching standpoint to have to, you know, be the one to do that. But I just have to kind of remind myself and them that, you know, we have goals that we want to achieve, and honesty is usually the best policy. And I will say that our senior class has been very, very willing to take the criticism and run with it. And they know that it's nothing personal, and it's just honestly for the good of the group. And so I've been really proud of them and how they've handled that along the way.
You mentioned it's been getting better. Was there a point in the second half of the season, maybe this month, where you kind of noticed, oh, they wouldn't have been able to respond like this before?
I don't know if there was like one moment in particular, but, you know, it's just kind of the ebbs and flows of the season, I guess. You know, when things are good, it's good. And when things aren't, you know, you have to have some of those difficult conversations. But I think they have responded really well.
Okay, awesome. So a little bit of an up and down last month of the season. You win a couple games, lose a couple games. What are some things you really want to see improve going into state playoffs?
Well, we actually talked about it today, just kind of looking at some of our stats from WAC. Our serve receive has kind of been up and down lately, but they passed really well this weekend. And so that was reassuring, because just knowing the caliber of teams that we're going to face in sub-state, and then if we get the chance at state, those teams are all going to be up-tempo in their offense, and we're going to have to be faster in order to score. And we can't just rely on, you know, the same tempo ball all the time. So we just talked about, you know, continuing to serve tough and to obviously spread our offense, but get it going a little bit faster than what we have been.
Do teams here in Western Kansas maybe play a little differently than some of the teams you're about to play?
Yeah, the East is a different beast.
In what sense?
Well, you know, they have kids that they play club year round, and we have one girl that's 6 foot, and they might have 3 or 4 or 5 plus of those. So it's just different in terms of, you know, how much volleyball they've played, and they can travel 10 miles and play, you know, one of the best teams in the state, whereas we have to have quite a ways to get the same caliber of competition, you know, which isn't realistic for us to be able to do. So,
okay. Is there a way to counter size in volleyball?
Well, we hope to be a little faster than they are.
Okay.
A little scrappier maybe. But, you know, you just have to, you know, mix it up a little bit more, maybe once you get against some teams like that.
On the contrary, for some things that maybe haven't gone well these last couple weeks, what are some things that have really improved from, you know, maybe the start of the season to now going into playoffs?
I would say, you know, we've gotten some really good play from our younger kids. I know we have three seniors, but we're still pretty young. We've got a freshman playing. We have some sophomores playing, and they've really kind of hit their stride at various times and have made plays for us. And they've also been super coachable, you know, in game when we're making adjustments and things like that. Like, they respond well, and they're ultimately able to make some plays for us. And so that's been huge for us to know that, you know, they're getting better and we can rely on them a little bit more.
One of the things I've actually talked about with Coach Hiltz over at the community college is kind of that mindset of your team is only as strong as your weakest link. Do you feel that kind of same way when you see some of the younger players stepping up more?
Yeah, I think that it takes all six of them on the court, you know, and I mean, we know who our go-to hitters are, but so does everyone else. And so it's not realistic to just rely on those people to make plays all the time. And that, you know, having other people to give the ball to alleviate some of that pressure too, on some of our older kids. And so I think their contributions are absolute game changers for us.
How do you teach that balance, you know, throughout the year? How do you get these players a little more integrated by the time it gets to now?
You know, I think you just have to continue to give them feedback and give them reps and practice and encourage them, and kind of get some of our leaders and our older kids to encourage them as well, because, you know, if they feel like they're a part of the team and they feel like, you know, they're contributing, then they're more than likely going to, you know, have the confidence to produce when the time comes.
So let's dive into these sub-states now. Before I even get into any of the individual matchups, how big is it that you're able to host?
This is huge. We haven't hosted since 2018 or 19. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's been a while. And so for these kids, they have been on buses and vans and, you know, taken those long trips to sub-state and faced some pretty powerful programs for an opportunity to get to go to state. And so every year it's the conversation of, you know, if we win a few more games, if we can execute a little better, a little longer, maybe we can kind of flip the script a little bit. So this is huge for us. And, you know, just looking at it, we've put ourselves in a good situation to be able to compete for a chance at state. And that's just a huge testament to these kids. Like, they've been on the other side of that bracket, and they've been on the other side of those long trips, and they know what that feels like. And so they've put their mind to it, and I'm really proud of them.
So Friday night, getting to sleep in your own bed, it's going to feel really good, right?
It is, yeah. And, you know, getting to be in our own gym for a change for the postseason, that's going to be fun too. And getting to play in front of our home crowd one more time is something we're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. And it's been really tough on these student athletes. Obviously, you have to travel, you know, to some of these different places, you know, for sub-states before, you know, having to go 5, 6, 7 hours potentially. How have they discussed, you know, how much of a relief it is just to be able to host?
Yeah, they're pumped. They don't want to get on a bus any more than I do. So, they're excited to again get to play in front of their friends and their family and their fans, and to get a chance to play for, you know, a state berth for the first time in a while.
So let's talk about this individual bracket. You'll open up with Wichita Southeast. They finished the year 6-25. Have you seen any of their film yet? What are you looking at?
We have seen film, but we also played them at the end of August in our preseason tournament.
Okay.
So we've seen them and some more recent film, so we're familiar with what they look like.
What stands out about them?
They have a pretty balanced offense, to be honest. They are pretty scrappy, but I think they're definitely pin oriented, which is a plus for us. But I think ultimately, you know, if we execute, we should be sitting in a good situation there.
In what way is that really benefit their pin focused?
Well, they're a little bit more predictable on what they do on offense. And so we can set our block so that the ball filters to where we want it to go.
And then if you were to win that game, you would take on the winner of Wichita, Hayesville Campus, or Topeka. Again, kind of same question. Do you know what either of these teams are going to bring?
We have film on both of them, so we're kind of breaking that down and looking at it to see what we're up against.
When you look at some of the past couple seasons where you've come up short in the playoffs, what are some things that this team has missed when it comes to substates that you're trying to see change this year?
I think their serve and pass has come a long way, to be honest. Last couple seasons, we'll go and face some servers that jump and serve tough, and it's tough on our littles back there sometimes. And so I would say our passers are definitely more mature, and they know, you know, you got to have kind of short-term memory back there. And then on the flip side, you know, our serve game has improved as well, and so hopefully that'll help us get teams out of system a little better.
What's something that you've seen from teams that have gone on, you know, deep runs in high school, substates and states in Kansas that you want to see your team emulate?
Honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with their selflessness and their toughness and, you know, some of the things that you can't necessarily always teach. But I think those are also areas where our kids have grown. And we've talked a lot about, you know, when you're looking outward at your teammates and how you can help them, it alleviates some of that pressure and also makes it a lot more enjoyable. So I think that's, you know, ultimately what we're going to have to do is realize that it's about the Buffalo. It's not about any one person in particular. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to watch them.
I was going to ask that. So let me put you in the mindset of it's 1:45 on Saturday. You're 15 minutes away. You're getting ready to have your final team talk in the locker room before your team takes the court for substates. What's the message to them?
Well, I think the first message is to look around, you know, look at the people that are in the stands and everyone there that's there to support them, and look around the huddle at the people that have been with them since, you know, day one when we started this in the summer, and to not forget that that's ultimately what you're playing for and who you're playing for. Because I think sometimes we can get lost in, you know, we got to win this game and forget, you know, why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. And so I don't want them to miss an opportunity to enjoy that part of the game too. Mm-hmm. The wins will come if they do what we've been working on. But I don't want them to miss the opportunity to enjoy the other part of it.
And one final question for you. For the people that are maybe listening on our radio right now who haven't had the chance to come out and watch this team play, what would you tell people right now that, you know, they should come out and really see this team on Saturday? What stands out about this team?
What stands out to me is their character. They're just good kids. And, you know, they can be frustrating. I can be frustrating sometimes. But at the end of the day, these are the best of the best kids at Garden City High School. And, you know, those are the kids you root for. They're the ones you want to see succeed because you know they're doing the right things on and off the court. And so I think that's probably the message, is they're good kids. They have fun, and it's hard not to root for them.
Well, you did say honesty is the best policy. So
yep, I did.
Thank you so much, Coach, for coming on. Garden City High School hosts Wichita Southeast, Wichita Hayesville Campus, and Topeka this week in substates. Garden City is able to win at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and then the oncoming 4 o'clock game versus the winner of Hayesville and Campus, they'll move on to states. That is Head Coach Justin Bailey. Thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to dive into football and the hatchet game victory for Garden City. We'll hear from assistant coach Chet Skinner and football center Andrew Marino. It's all coming up here on Buff Talk, live from Old Chicago.